greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I'll have what she's having.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Say hello to my little friend!
I'm gonna make him an offer, Captain.
Keep your friends close. Put your enemies close.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk Extra. It's been a while. It's been a very long while, I know. But it's been a long while for a very good reason. My name is MC Adem, and with me, my usual movie buff buddy, great in analyzing movies, pretty much knows a whole lot more than I do. Onyeka, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, man? It's really been a while, but we're back. We're back like DT, like Donald Trump.
Look.
Let's make movies great again.
Well, there's no getting rid of him. I bet. I want to get him out of this. So, anyway, Easy, it's been a while. And, you know, a lot has happened, actually. I feel like a lot has happened over time, especially in the TV movie world. At this time, I don't want to give a reason why we have been away for this long, but you know, it's been like very, very it's been very, very engaging, but we'll do the best we can to actually maintain, you know, movie analysis, movie reviews as much as we can. But first of all, since it's been a while, Onyeka, what I really want to talk about, I want to understand how you have interacted with most of the movie contents that have been released, like, say, 2023, per se. Let's not go back too far.
2023. Well, to be honest, 2023 was quite a slow year for me in terms of my movie watching. I didn't go to the cinema as much. Right. I know there are lots of releases. I didn't go to cinema as much. I actually did a lot more series. Okay. And, you know, and Netflix came up with this new mini series, limited series things that they do. And I got into more of those, you know, all those the diplomats, you know, the recruits, you know, treason. And, you know, those are the sorts of things I was watching, you know, all those 8-episode, 40-minute shows.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I did more of that, to be honest. But, you know, I watched a couple of movies. Oh, yeah.
I think that the 8-episode, what they call miniseries now.
Limited series.
That's the word for it. You know, it's growing in popularity in terms of, you know, TV watching habits. And I know that it's Netflix that is very popular. I don't know if they have a lot more other like streaming services in Nigeria per se right now, but I know that over here it's crazy. You have Netflix, you have Paramount Plus, you have Peacock, you have Amazon Prime, you have, in fact, there are so many to name, Stars, BET, everybody with their own independent production. They're all making their own movies right now, as in, so that they are doing stuff that will make you stay on their platform.
Yeah.
As in, if you don't watch it on their platform, you cannot see it anywhere else. Yeah, you can see it anyplace else. So the thing is, what I noticed is that there is this fight for eyeballs. Let me put it that way. And the rate of production of movies now, I would say that I can say that they must have found a fast way of making these things come. It's like maybe there's a way people memorize their lines now that is faster. Do they have them? You know, I came across this coach on the internet. I don't know whether his name is something Quick, Jim Quick, I think, that he coaches a lot of actors or something like that. And basically what he teaches them is all these memory tricks, how to memorize your lines. And, you know, I've never really thought about it. Like, how do these guys have to memorize all these things they have to say. And of course, you're going to have directors that will have them take many takes. Take this take one more time again. I heard that Quentin Tarantino can make you do 100 takes and tell you that. And maybe it was the first one that was good. Anyway, that's just what I heard. So,
yeah.
You know, and I wonder how, you know, they just make sure that you are able to, you know, they produce these things within the shortest possible time. And everybody seems to have one new show and the other. I don't know if you're also aware of the directors, you know, the writer strike that happened in Hollywood.
Yeah, I was aware.
Yeah. And it posed a threat also. So a lot actually happened in 2023 as far as TV is concerned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've thought about writers actually have the short end of the stick, as far as I feel, because when they had that strike, I felt like there was a reason for it. And if mm-hmm. you've been following the trends, like, you know, I'm sure you've heard about this AI and its interaction with movie. What's the name of mm-hmm. that new Harrison Ford movie that came out last year?
It was another Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
that a lot of people,
but a lot of people said that they used AI to make Indiana Jones look a lot more, you know, younger than he is. And my thing here was that was one of the thing that actually prompted the strike. If you remember, if you follow the story deeply,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, some of these actors too started getting scared that they could use their clone and yes. make, you know, and make movies, use their voices and everything and make movies. And where do you think all this thing is actually going at? Do you foresee a future where we don't need these actors anymore?
You know, we're from the generation where we, you know, we came from the analog world, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, some of us, our parents watched, you know, stage acting, theaters, you know, they were in the theaters, they watched black and white movies. And now we're at a time where, you know, anybody can just go on the internet and recreate this conversation we're having now with totally different words, you know. So you can imagine what is at the disposal. But what these big studios, the tech they have available to them, what they can do with someone's image and likeness.
Yes.
So I'm sure they've gotten to a point where they're like, you know what? They don't really want to deal with this hassle of having to put somebody in a trailer and, you know, the person says he needs his coffee at this certain temperature every morning. If not, he can't say a few lines. Why don't we just put these lines on this person's image and have this computer do the whole thing?
That's
and
right.
So people can't tell the difference anyway. So why are we stressing ourselves? Let's figure out an amount, give you, stay in your house. We'll just pay for it, you know.
It's like working, remotely.
Yes, exactly. I can see the business case for AI taking over, you know, the actor's work. But at the same time,
yeah,
as someone that you know, has, you know, some, you know, I used to do spoken word when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I also tried writing, you know, a couple of scripts. I also see where the writers are coming from. If we do this, we're going to lose our jobs, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to create a full... You can create a full script now with AI. Just say, okay, no, I'll make a movie, do this, and complete scripts. And it will be acted perfectly, and some people will be able to tell the difference. So, you know, I get where the whole confusion is coming from.
most people, honestly speaking, most people won't tell the difference. And I know that this AI conversation now has, you know, permeated every single atmosphere in our life. Everybody, every website, everything is going AI. So I understand the threats. And I mean, even this Hollywood screenwriters now, you know, getting their resources from the internet, they engage with the computer, they see what is going on. They are able to tell where this thing is going, because if you can clone somebody's voice, clone somebody's picture, and start generating images, it's game over. But I feel mm-hmm. like I'm not sure of the details of the, you know, deals that they signed per se, but I know that at least it's supposed to protect them, because there was this situation. It was popular conversation then whereby, you know, you write a movie script. That movie script, you're the storyteller, you generated the story. That movie script now goes to production. They've gotten the actors, and then they put it on Netflix, or they put it on Prime, or put it anywhere they put it. And then it gets like 800 million views in one week, right? Mm-hmm. So now, I think there's a particular metric that they have whereby you can measure how many subscribers you got because of, you know, because the way, I don't know how it is over there, but you see, because of the competition here, they slam the ads badly. Every new show that is coming out, you turn on your YouTube, there are ads in between telling you that release date. This, and it's, ah, man, I don't have Paramount Plus. I don't have Peacock. And this show is only on Peacock. It's like, you want to watch it, but you don't have it, you go and subscribe. Some people wait, let all the episodes drop, and then they subscribe for that 1 month, watch all the episodes, and turn it off, because it's expensive to pay for multiple. If you want to pay for all the multiple streaming services here, you should be doing over $100 a month, which is as good as cable. So, I mean, I feel like the writers were doing that because they felt like they needed a share of that money. And I want to believe, because you see, I'm not armed with all the details of the outcome of that thing, since we are just talking about it, you know. I want to believe that they got some kind of closure, at least that will put some money in their pocket, give them some job security. Because when AI starts writing these scripts, I promise you, I don't know if you've heard of these AI ads already, that people, there's AI art that is AI art, and they're talking of AI art gallery where you go, and people are now, you know, versed in how they create pictures using. And I ask myself where this thing is going. It's not looking like it's Skynet going to stop. Listen, it gleams into, see, the thing is, since we're talking about this, you know, it leads into, I think one of the first early articles I wrote when I started a blog, I think I had a blog called Digi Living or something when we had the blog spots back in the day. And I wrote an article about how the something about the machines, the rise of the machines.
That machine learning.
You know, and basically, I didn't have the best words. I don't think I even knew how to write. I didn't know how to write very well at that time. But I felt I was trying to say something about how, you know, machines will take over jobs and everything. But it didn't take me long to find out that people have been talking about this thing for years. And if you look at the pattern of movies that have been coming out, like, if let's talk about Terminator. If you look at Terminator talks about how machines will take over the future. You know, the old Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator. Then you have, there was iRobot with Will Smith, that's tried to robots could have emotions. And if you follow that story very well, you see how the robots actually knew what the humans were thinking and all that good stuff. Then there was another one that had this guy on the Transformer guy. Is it Shia LaBeouf or so? A movie called Eagle Eye.
Shia LaBeouf, yeah?
Eagle Eye.
Yes, Eagle Eye. Yes.
Eagle Eye, it also propagated, you know, the same thing. And there's one now that is on Hulu. They call The Creator. I haven't actually finished watching that one.
No, so. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, but the Creator actually talks more of AI proper now. I think that's the first movie I have seen that talks about AI.
Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Matrix. In fact, that is a classic case. How could I miss Matrix? You see, but Matrix, you see, Matrix did not go into more of, you know, algorithms. It went into But pretty much, pretty close though, because the thing is,
it touched it without really saying it, because the Oracle and the Oracle's other fellow, the guy in white, you know, that nobody ever knew what he was.
Yeah,
they had the Oracle basically algorithm.
Yeah,
that kept repeating the whole thing over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. But all these movies at the end of the day, Onyeka, they just propagate this whole idea that I think we are moving into a time where if robots start telling human stories, I don't know what is left of our humanity. And there's a part of me that is scared that they're already doing it.
See, if we take history into cognizance and we remember that, you know, they say most stories are told by the victors. And the victors always paint themselves to be good. If robots start telling stories, very soon robots will make themselves the hero in the story. And if robots make themselves the hero in the story,
it's a slam dunk case.
Well, it's a slam dunk case. We can't win. They're too efficient. They don't need the things that we need. We're inefficient, you know. Human beings are ultimately inefficient, which is also part of the beauty of when human beings come together to, you know, produce something. You know, you see a painting that was made by a human being, like, how can somebody that, you know, obviously has the flaws, maybe he snores when he sleeps or something, come out and paint something so spectacular, you know, everything done well? How did human beings create the pyramids? You know, you see all these things. Mm. And then you've now come and bring robots, so everything is measured to the, you know, nano whatever, and everything is perfect, and, you know, no allowance for color or, you know, or natural, because they don't have feelings, they don't have emotions, you know, they're just, everything that creates tonight is based on what has been created, so they're just joining words together to create things, or joining arts together to create things based on words that came from a human being. But that human being drew it up or was inspired by maybe pain or one deep emotion or anguish or something. And when robots or AI, if they now start taking over those things, we will lose, everything becomes sterile, you know. It will become like all these dystopia things where everybody's wearing white or black or everybody's angular or something. You know, I feel we will lose all those things. So it's a world I've actually tried as much as possible to ignore.
Where?
I try as much as possible.
as much as you're trying to ignore it, understand that it will still come and it will still meet you at your doorstep.
It's here already.
because the thing is, if you decide, oh, I don't want to be part of it, what's going to happen is you will be left behind. Like a lot of, I mean, if you think back, there were people who decided, they said they did not want to use ATM. I remember I had lived in Nigeria when, you know, when it was, some people said they don't want to use the ATM machine. No, they want to go into the bank. Until their local bank, they discovered that their local bank did not have human beings anymore. So when you drove your car there, you were forced to figure out a way to interact with the machine. And the thing is, the way, you know, the way the world is becoming designed is like, if you're not adapting, if you're not moving with this thing, you become an endangered species. Because it may be too late. You know, I always give this example, like during COVID, you know, COVID did not give a lot of restaurants time to transmute from selling food online because of the sudden closure. So many of the businesses crashed during that time because they couldn't do that quick transition. That was not the time for you to learn the technology. That was not the time for you to have the website. That was not the time for you to start looking for how you're going to let your customers know. You needed to have been ready. So, if people decide, oh, I'm not going to have it, what's going to happen is that your neighbor, two of you are maybe writing, let's pretend that both of you are speech writers for presidents in different countries. You're trying to write your speech from your head, 100%. The other person is not using AI 100%, but he is writing his speech. AI will give him a first draft. He knows how to put in the right words, and AI will give him the first draft. And then you are still trying to, you know, get into your creative arguments and think of the words, the way to bring out the words. He would have produced 14 pages while you're on page one. Hollywood screenwriters, they know this thing. They know this thing.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I want to believe that they actually, you know, had to force Hollywood to pay attention to them because they were about to get kicked out. I mean, because it doesn't take any much. Why do I got to pay $150,000 for a script when I can get one young guy who knows how to ask the AI the right question, and the AI will tell him the story, and then all we have to do is tweak it a little more. I'll just sit in one place and say, look, okay, no, let's not kill off this character. Well, how about you just write around this character and let him, you know, change it here and there? 50K, we'll cut the deal. I cut my costs. I cut my costs. You know? Anyways, let's take a quick break right now. And when we get back, we'll basically, you know, coming back and just getting a feel of, you know, talking about the movies, which we love, really. Because of the education that it provides, the information that it provides, and the, you know, basic outlook of societies, even societies that we have not lived in before. And I think today we will just talk a little bit about some of these transitions, and we'll look at a particular movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, a Martin Scorsese movie. I used to pride myself that I had seen everything Martin Scorsese, and then I looked on the internet. It was like M. Night Shyamalan. I thought I had seen everything, and I saw it, and I said, "What? Where did this one go?" I think something about Silent or Servant. I can't remember the name.
I've seen that.
I think
I've seen that.
Something else. I think it's Servant or so. I can't.
Silence. What's the name of this guy? This guy that did the guy that was a Spider-Man and
that was good. That was wasn't that Scorsese? I hope we're not messing.
Two films called Silence.
Yeah,
there are actually two films called Silence, but the one you're talking about,
the one I'm talking about, Scorsese, is
Silence.
It's Silence. Okay. The Silence you're talking about. Yeah. So I think it's M. Night Shyamalan's. I saw that on, it was a commercial on Apple TV or something like that. And at the same time, but anyway, it's relevant. When we come back, we'll just talk a little bit about this movie and see how it relates to some of the histories that we've talked about in the past. That'll be when we come right back. Okay, welcome back, everybody, and thank you for sticking around with us as we talk more about the movies. And first of all, before I know that we have this habit, Onyeka, of like, you know, picking a movie, talking about a movie, and we try to do some analysis on the movie and everything. But you see, at the end of the day, as two guys who come from a country whereby it's supposed to be a major export of movies. And in fact, I recently heard there was a particular movie, is it The Tribe of Judah or something like that, that made over a billion naira or so? I can't remember.
it's apparently has grossed over a billion naira. It's showing in cinemas globally, I think.
That is wild. That's
it's our highest grossing movie ever, so to speak. Yeah,
and that is a good step. You see, that's a step in the right direction. Yeah, and I don't know if it's available on any streaming service because I have not seen it.
It's not on Netflix. I think it's still in the cinemas. I think it's still doing a cinema run.
So it made $1 billion from the cinema.
Yes, that's the story.
I tell you what, maybe when we watch that movie, we can review it. And I'll tell you the reason I said that.
I've seen it.
You've seen it. Good. So maybe when I watch it, we can actually talk about it. Now, I said that for a reason because you see, here's the thing. Like, if we want to talk about Killers of the Flower Moon right now, because, you know, yes, we love movies, and of course we watch Martin Scorsese, and some of us started watching, you know, like American movies even before the Nollywood film industry became what it was. And then you see, and when it became what it was, it appeared that because there needs to be some kind of loyalty, you know, of some sort to your, but I mean, you can't, I love the Hollywood movies as well. I like some Nigerian movies, in all honesty, the same way I don't like some American movies is the same way I don't like some Nigerian movies. There are some American movies, there are some Hollywood movies that are crap. Same thing with Nigerian movies. There are some of them that are crap. There are some of them that are very good. There are some of them that I think the stories need to be told better. Because I think, first and foremost, I think if we're talking about Nigerian movies right now, you see, we haven't even started talking about we're talking about Nigerian movies right now. I feel like we have gotten every other thing sorted out. We've gotten every other thing right. So what I mean is that we're talking about visual effects, lighting, you know, sound, music. Whether it's done locally or it's being outsourced, that's inconsequential. What I'm saying in a sense is that we have appeared to have gotten the visuals right, as in it appears on your screen, it looks top-notch, A-list. For me, I'm having issues with the storytelling, because the storytelling line is one, because you see, there's such a thing as telling a very boring story. But the way you tell the story, the way it is presented, and if you watch some, there is creativity in storytelling where you see some.
Oh, yes.
They start the movie from the end and come back to the beginning. Sometimes they jump in the middle and they draw you back. In fact, it takes a certain kind of person to figure out certain stories. Now, there are stories that are bigger than some people, I have to put it because you might.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I feel like if you say movies are, I mean, the productions are good. That is the reason I am so eager to see, because first of all, I want to understand why a movie like that will resonate. In fact, I even wanted to reach out to Monica at some point and ask. Okay, I honestly checked her website to see if she has written anything about the movie, and I was like, okay, because I need to understand why it made him. Because the reason for that for me is that I want to know what resonates with an audience like that, in that fashion. Is it content? Was it a romantic movie? Was it a spiritual movie? Was it I have, honestly, as I speak to you now, I should.
Well,
I have.
You want to watch a movie, so I will hold
my lips for me.
I will seal my lips till you're ready to watch the movie. When you watch the movie, then we can go over that. But I reserve my comments.
As far as we are on this platform, I can only tell you that unless it drops on a streaming service, then I'll be able to watch any other way I watch it. I will deny that I have watched it.
I'm sure you'll be able to see it soon. Given the popularity of the film, it will soon get into, if not Netflix, most likely Amazon.
I feel if it's not available in the cinema in America here, if it's not available here in a cinema to watch, they should put it on one of the streaming services. I guess they still make money from putting it out there. And I know that me and you, we know that there is a way that they have this thing whereby they won't. There are certain movies they can put on Netflix in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But it's not available here. Remember when we did the one about there was a particular movie we did. You watch it on Netflix. I couldn't find it on Netflix here. So that was when I actually learned that there are some movies that they can put on Netflix that will be available for a Nigerian audience or somewhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But in America, you can't have it on the platform. I guess it's for legal reasons.
Mm-hmm. It happens when you're searching for some movies. You know, you search for a movie on Nigerian, you know, Netflix for Africa or Netflix Nigeria.
Yeah.
And you will see the title, you know, before you even finish typing, okay, you'll see the name pop up. And you now click on it and you don't see the movie. So most of the times when that happens, I guess that, okay, maybe it's available in Europe or in America, and it's not available to us yet.
Right.
You know, so, but with regards to A Tribe Called Judah, I'm pretty sure it will be on streaming services.
I'll look for it. I think I'll look for it, and I'll make the time to watch it, and then we can talk about it. Like, I don't know if I had said that way, that the reason I said that, because I want us to just, you know, touch on this movie very briefly. Because, you see, the reason is that I will feel comfortable talking about my own history. And I won't lie to you, I have been personally confronted about it on the BBC podcast in America. Yeah, somebody has asked me that. You know, somebody has asked me that, you know, I talk about a lot of, you know, foreign movies. And, you know, when we are living in Nigeria, we watch movies. It's not anything. Movies like movies. But, you know, I don't know where the world is now. There's a word she called. Hold on. Let me see. I'm trying to remember the word it was called. I didn't take it seriously because then, you know, we had stopped doing the podcast. But they called it something about identity, something, and
cultural appropriation.
Oh, thank you. They're not exactly cultural appropriation, but pretty close to all those things about, you know, for it to have some genuine, some very genuine appeal, like, you know, Nollywood is a very, then I can talk about Nigeria. But I say, excuse me, we have people, look, I say, okay, we can talk about the societal topics, but at the same time, we can just review the movie. Reviewing a movie is that how I see the movie. In as much as I noticed that within the practice of this podcast, it's like we can talk mainly about some, you know, other things around it, like how we can compare what it does, how it relates to things that we see in society and know and all that. So it doesn't become a core review. Even when I write on Real Talk Extra, sometimes I don't just review the movie direct. I could take him like the Aquaman. Like, if you read my latest post on Aquaman, I just talked about global. I didn't talk much about the movie. Maybe one or two lines about the movie, you know, so that it will not be like I am encroaching into somebody else's story. And in all honesty, I thought about it. And I said, well, if I see a Nigerian or African movie that is worth reviewing, of course, we'll review it. If there's rich history behind it, of course. I live in America. I am an American for the most part of it, at the end of the day. So I think if we want to have that conversation, because I was almost about to go there.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I have some rights.
Because I'm living in society.
So I mean, the problems we see on the screen, I mean, I'm talking about, there are some movies I've seen where on my way to work, the building that the movies was acted in, North Carolina, we pass in front of it. So, this is Durham Courthouse, it was in this movie. I can't talk about it anyway. That's a conversation for a different day. But anyway, let's just I know we got
let me just let it go.
It's one of those things, but it wasn't the reason why we were off the air. I'm sure you know the reason why, but it's some of the things we deal with, because, you know, you put this thing on public media and the whole world can listen. Everybody can click in on their phone and listen to it. And it's okay. It's an opinion. I mean, we don't all have to agree, and we don't have to be enemies because we don't agree, but it's what it is. Anyway, but in all intents, I was actually interested in the story when I saw the story of the Killer of the Flower Moon, because we had actually, you know, living here for me, if I want to personalize it, I have been so interested in a lot of the history of this country, because what I learned is that the history of this country that I thought I knew, understand, prior to living here full time, it makes me feel like maybe I don't know, can I bring it down to a very, very illiterate 15%? Maybe I'm even giving myself credit if I say I knew up to 15%, because it's like, oh, and this happened, and that happened, and that happened, and this happened. And it appears a lot of stories where there were attempts to try to kill a lot of stories, but I know that Killer of the Flower Moon was based on a book that somebody actually wrote, that was made into a film by Martin Scorsese. What is your takeaway from this film? And what do you know about the history?
Well, if what my standard basic view of, or you know, understanding of the history of what happened is, you know, people came to America, Indians were killed. So Indians were wiped out, and you know, almost all of them are gone. But you know, so to be more serious, I remember I've watched Dance of the Wolves, and you know, with Kevin Costner, is an old classic. And I remember, you know, the interactions between, you know, white people and Indians was never really so great. Another classic movie, The Last of the Mohicans, you know, with Daniel Day-Lewis. And so my understanding of, you know, the what happened to Indians culturally from the movies I've watched, the books I've read, is that, you know, eventually they got secluded to smaller and smaller places called reservations. And, you know, to make life worthwhile for most of them, they sort of told them to, like, I think some semi-tourist attractions where, you know, you can have a casino, you can have, you know, you can smoke cannabis there legally, and other little things like that. So when I saw this movie, initially I didn't even think it was a true story. I just thought, you know, this is something else from the brilliant mind of Martin Scorsese, you know. And of course, saying that he brought his favorite, you know, his favorite star, DiCaprio, to come and act in the movie, I was quite excited. It was only after watching the movie, I said, this feels like, this feels real. This is so raw. You know, I don't think anybody can be this mean if they're just creating something straight off their head. And I know this guy. He's not, you know, he's not this, you know, he's not this fatalistic. So I now said, let me just check. And I said, oh, so this actually happened, you know. The people, a group of Indians, you know, from the Osage country. For those of my friends from Benin, it's not Osage.
It's Osage. It's Osage.
This is Osage, you know. So a group of Indians from the Osage, you know, you know, tribe, they discovered oil in the place just before 1900 or 1900s. You know, they discovered oil. And initially, you know, when people were discovering all these sort of places, people would come, you know, turn to, you know, like a Wild Wild West mini sort of thing. So a law was passed where people that discovered oil, especially indigenous peoples, could sort of basically access the wealth that is coming from that place in a form of trust. You know, I'm paraphrasing here and I'm not so exact. In a form of trust. So it eventually created a space that was known as, you know, the richest community in the world, because every child born to the Osage country was given royalties from the oil that was being, you know,
drilled. They declared a head right.
They declared a head right, exactly. So it led to a situation where I don't know how they got this assessment that they got, but they ended up saying that because Indians were so, you know, to want of a better word, a primitive, they lived off the land, you know, they still had
physically, they were not smart enough to manage the money.
You know,
so
they were looking, they said, you don't know how to handle this money. So we're going to handle it for you. So we're going to handle it for you. So they ended up making a situation where, all right, if you want your money, come and tell us, they will give you some. We'll give you some out of your money. This is your money. It's your money, but you can't just touch it. It's there. You know, like they were children. And these are all adults, you know. So to make things easier, you know, everybody is looking for a quick buck. And I'm sure this is not so far away from the Great Depression. I think the Great Depression happened in the 1920s, you know. So alcohol was, so there was a, people were basically hustling all over America. So here comes a group, a primitive tribe sitting on so much wealth. And you have what they call the great white man, who has nothing better to do with his time but to hustle for a living. You know, most of them started marrying these people, getting involved with them romantically, so that when people eventually die,
the wealth transfers to them.
The wealth transfers to the family
and their children. So I think for me that's the story. Actually, yeah,
that is the story. The story that is
the story. Because for me,
decided to marry Indian woman so that when the woman die, even if the woman were, you know, were pushed along that path a bit too quickly, they could inherit the property and eventually have access to oil. It was a crime of incredible proportions.
You know, like we normally say, it's like there's always a story within a story. If it's just for you, if for anybody watching this movie, if what you want to take away from it is the history, just the history, that is fine. But the real story there was that they were killing these people.
Man.
The thing, because you see, there's one thing here is that you want to marry somebody because maybe you want to marry her because of her wealth, or maybe her father had money or something. I mean, that's perfectly okay for anybody who wants to do that. I mean, everybody's got their own program. But you were killing these people. You were killing. And for me, you know, when I understood, because like we always do, when you look, you said the word, I watch it for because it's Martin Scorsese. I have a list of directors that I know that if I see a movie that they have made, I have to cross it off my list in good time, no matter how busy my life is. So there are movies I won't watch. I will keep them at the back burner. But I'll watch anything Martin Scorsese. I'll watch anything Quentin Tarantino. You know, I have a list. I have a list of people like that. Good or bad. It was Anton a flop, I'll watch it. Yeah, you know, it was a flop, I'll watch it. Just to get the whole feel. So for me, I'm like, this... What my understanding of the history, though, is that, you know, because like I said, I don't want to delve too deeply. I can only get the information that I have read. And the issue was that the Osage people, the land that they got, I think they bought it with their own money, which was different from a lot of other Indian settlers because they were different. They were different settlers, right? And different settlers, basically, were apportioned different lands for reasons I can't explain deeply. But the difference with the Osage people was that they bought this land with their money. And they bought it. Then they didn't know that there was oil there. Like if you look at the opening scenes of the movie, when the oil splash was there, and you see that they found that there was oil there. And then the story now, you know, feeds into everything. For a while, I didn't know where it was going. Then after a while, I got the jerk. And then I found out that at the end of the day, this is what these guys were doing. And if you want to ask me why, I'll say what people do for money is a very simple thing. What people will do because of ego, owo, hoodie, money. And it was, you know, premeditated. It wasn't only the main characters, but
it was premeditated.
It was something they were all, you know, they knew that they just...
Everybody knew about it.
It's like everybody had to come and catch one Indian Osage girl and then follow me. And then at the end of the day, you know. But I hope anybody listening to this, we haven't spoiled it for you. But it is something that I feel like it's Martin Scorsese. I would recommend it very easily. I mean, it's a 3-hour movie. I mean, the longest movie I've seen is that Justice League. that lasted for 4 hours. And I promised myself that I'm not going to do it again. Then I see this 3-hour movie and I tell myself, say, okay, we'll make the time to
But I think his last three movies have all been 3 hours, though.
His movies are long.
The Irishman.
Yeah.
Then the one Silence was like
Silence was long too, well. Silence was long.
The Departed is quite long, it's over 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, his movies are long. I think he makes movies for an audience that knows how to follow his story, will have the patience to take in the story the way he presents it on screen.
Yeah,
and of course he uses the top notch guys. We're talking about Robert De Niro, them Leonardo DiCaprio, and you know, so these are people who actually will bring life to the roles. I mean, for me, Robert De Niro, I have always loved anything that he shows in. I'm not talking about as old as Taxi. I'm talking about like Untouchables. We're talking about when he was Al Capone in Untouchables. You know, what was the name of that movie? The one that I paint walls. That's The Irishman. Then.
Yes.
Was it The Irishman that I paint walls? When he said, I paint walls.
Yes.
Okay.
The Irishman, it was him, Pacino, and Joe Pesci.
Pacino, Joe Pesci. I know that Pacino was Jimmy Hoffa in that particular movie. Yeah. But anyway, but it was quite interesting. I know that we may not have said much about it, and we'll leave it at that for now. But I don't know if there's any other thing you want to add to this.
It's a movie I suggest anyone should watch. I recommend it, not just because the acting is superb or the director is one of the best ever to do it, but it's instructive for people that want to, have a glimpse into the history, so to speak, of the Osage people or the Indians, and see what happened to them. It's eye-opening, it's almost a shocking movie, because at sometimes you're rooting for one of the characters, one of the lead characters, to toe a different path, but it ends up not going the way I expected it to go. It's something that I feel that I can recommend it to anyone. I don't want to give away too much, because going deeper into it is giving away all the juicy details. But just know that a terrible crime happened. And I'm sure when other movies are made, maybe somebody will do a movie about what happened in Tulsa one of these days.
I'm surprised they haven't made a movie about that yet too. And that's a lot of history.
Probably cause a riot.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that they haven't made. I believe somebody's gonna make it.
I don't think any studio wants to touch that movie.
See, anything, I think, like, black exploitation movies, as it is so called these days, as it's so called, is there are movies that I don't know that anybody making movies like that is principally thinking about making money. You're making those kind of movies basically to make a document that you put out there, that for generations to come, there will be information out there that is accessible for somebody to be aware of this history. Because we are moving into a generation where people don't read anymore. I don't know how appealing books will be. Even the audio books, people don't have the patience to listen to it anymore, since our brains are wired to 30-second videos on TikTok. So the thing now is that those things will be out there, people can access them, unless a time will come where somebody now wants to take it down again to try to kill the information so that people will not, know about it. But I'm happy it was made into a film so that people actually know that these things, happened. It happened to people. There have been histories. If we talk about history of, man's injustice to man, we're talking about slavery, we're talking about the World War II, Hitler, what happened to the Jews. We're talking about the Indians. It's not only the Osage people, the Indians, they have their own story. And if we talk about the Civil War, even in Nigeria, everybody has their own story of who was offended and how many people were killed and all that. So the truth about it is that, you see, some of these things, if I'm talking about Nigerian movies too, I feel that some of these things too, but when we start getting to where we are putting our movies, educating people on some of these, is daring movies. Mm. When Spike Lee made a movie about Malcolm X, the one that had Denzel Washington on it, today a lot of people dispute the ending, say, no, that is not what happened and all that, but everything, but at least he put out a document there. Go make your own and say what happened. Let us watch it.
Very true.
Go make your own. And let's see what happened the other day. I think we're running out of time, dude. I think on that note, dude, we call it a day on this episode. And we make it a date. We will be back with another movie. We will talk about what's going on in terms of, the filmosphere or the movie world or cinema as it changes. Some of those podcasts, we will be covering some of the things as we go along, changes in Hollywood too, and even sometimes stories of the actors. We may touch on it, but what we want to do is we want to make sure that at least every week we talk about a movie, at least that we feel like you should watch if you want to, learn something about a history, be entertained, I do write about it also on realtalkextrasometimes.com. If some of my reviews, I do that in writing if we don't get to talk about it on this podcast at the end of the day. So, I think on that note, Onyeka, are we still loving Love and Lighting? Or is there a new version?
No, in Nigeria now, what we say is we know they creep for anybody.
We know they creep for anybody. That's how we say it now. Is that how we greet ourselves to say? That's 2022, 2023.
Yeah, in the English is don't accept any rubbish from anyone.
Okay, don't accept any rubbish from. But let's leave it at that, man, dude. All right, man. Nice.
All right, dude. Nice. Love it.